I know a couple of you, but just to tell you a bit about myself, my name is Chris, and I'm a member of the church here, and I also work for a local youth organisation that works across Hampshire, supporting young people across Hampshire called Youth Options. It's a secular organisation. We get quite a lot of our money from local authority. Well, we used to get a lot of money from local authority. We get a lot less now. And I manage a variety of different projects. We work in some really challenging schools. We work in pupil referral units, so schools where kids have been kicked out of school, and that's where they end up going, and places like that. So I have quite a bit of experience of working with angry sort of primary school age children and teenagers, and have also written anger management courses and delivered anger management courses to young people. What we're going to do today is we're going to have quite a practical seminar. So basically, you lot are going to have to come up with quite a few answers amongst yourselves. I wouldn't want to ever say that I'm an expert. Dealing with angry children and young people, as most of you will know, is really hard and often feels like you're banging your head against a brick wall, and you actually feel like banging their head against a brick wall sometimes. But obviously you can't do that because child protection doesn't allow. There are no easy answers. This seminar is not going to give you answers, but it will hopefully give you some things you could try and some ideas of different ways of supporting young people and children to do that, and some sort of interventions for kind of the immediate situation, but also in the longer term. I will also just say, and this does sound quite bad, on a Christian conference, there isn't going to be a massive amount of spiritual input into this seminar, and I'm really sorry if that disappoints you. This is going to be quite practical, and with quite sort of practical ways of working. As I said, I work in a secular youth environment, so I'm quite used to dealing with young people kind of on a secular level. However, there's loads of stuff that we can sort of put in place to support young people that come into our churches and into our youth groups. What I'd like you to do to start with, if you work or you're usually working with under 11s, can you kind of just wave your hand? Okay, and I guess everyone else who hasn't is over 11s. What we're going to do in a bit, we won't do it right away, we're going to put you in, I'm going to put you into those groups so that actually we're talking about things which are specific to your age group, because there are quite big differences when dealing with a 5 or 6 year old who's really angry and throwing a tantrum and a teenager who's throwing a tantrum. There are some differences in ways of dealing with it. What I'd like to do to start with, though, is maybe if you could turn to someone who you don't know or you've not met before and just start by introducing yourself. That's a nice thing to do. But also just kind of say what you're expecting to get from this seminar. And then what I'd like to do is maybe take 2 or 3 people, just tell me what they're expecting, because that would be quite useful as well. So I make sure that we're kind of hitting the mark. So you've got a couple of minutes to do that. Okay, if the other person hasn't spoken yet, let the other person speak so you both get a chance. Okay, if we can just stop there. You will have lots of time to talk to each other throughout this seminar, so don't worry. If people could just maybe give, I need just 2 or 3 people just tell me what they're kind of expecting, just so I'm making sure we're gauging this right, and if not, we'll just completely change the seminar and do something else. So, anyone?
How to do cues in angry situations.
Okay,
great. How to resolve conflict with person, but also how to help them change their
Yep. Cool.
I think how to announce someone's
show your emotion in a safe environment. It's not right to repress
Okay, great.
How to run a Bible study with kids when some of them are very angry with each other and that all keeps erupting.
Okay, yep, okay, we will try our best to cover some of those. I can't necessarily promise that we're going to give you answers for every single one of them, but if there are things which we haven't covered at the end, do come and chat to me and we can chat through some things quite happily. Now, if I could ask anyone who works with kind of under 11 to kind of junior school age kids, if they can come over, and I am just going to call everyone kids, but not you lot, obviously. But when I say kids, I mean kind of young, rather than having to say children and young people the whole time. I am just going to say kids, which I know some people think is a slightly disparaging, but there are no kids here, so it doesn't matter. And then kind of over 11 here. So if you work with secondary school age kids here, if you work with junior school age kids, can you sort of sit here and make a bit of a circle? If there's too many, we'll make two groups. But I think there's probably enough just for one group from each age group. That'd be great. If you do that as quickly as possible, because we... So junior, secondary. And if... Yeah, if we can kind of make one group from each age, that'd be great. Just make. And then just as groups are forming, what I'd like you to do, it might actually be you want to make two groups, actually, just because you're quite a big group. So if you make two groups, so we have three groups, that'd be great. Sorry. And what I want you to do in your groups is I want you to spend a few minutes talking about why do kids get angry? Okay? Why do kids get angry? And then after that, I want you to spend a few minutes talking about why do we get angry? What is it that makes us angry? And what is it that makes kids angry? Okay? So I need you 5 minutes to do that. And if someone could write or just have an idea, because we are going to feed these back. If you haven't moved on to why we get angry, can you move on to that part now?
I'm sorry. Not heard again.
Okay, you've got about 30 seconds and then.
So it's an emotion to get to challenge something.
Okay. I'm sure there are more things we could say, but we'll crack on. Okay, can you just give me some of the things that why kids get angry?
No.
Okay, cool. Sorry, you're not going to read my writing, are you? I don't even know I'm bothered to write it. Not listen to. Yeah?
Get angry with each other.
With others, yeah?
Maybe it's the only way they can get attention.
Okay, yeah, good.
Situations that are out of their control.
Yep.
Sort of linked to that frustration, as the frustration.
Not able to communicate very well.
Good communication.
Different or having, you know, coming from somewhere where they've got no boundaries to having boundaries or different boundaries.
Okay, yep, so. Yeah, okay, so. Lack of /
different
boundaries, yeah. Okay. Cool. Right, let's move on to us. Why do we get angry?
Stress.
Frustration, something? Yeah?
The same stuff, really.
Okay, so some other things here that are similar? Yeah?
Tiredness, hunger,
yeah.
Sometimes actually needing anger to be able to change something that's wrong.
Okay, so, if we call it positive anger?
Yeah.
Yep.
Other people being angry with us, but
it's angry. Okay, so other people being angry...
At us. Makes us angry.
Okay.
Other drivers, nothing.
Yeah, that's it. So it's what other people do. Okay. As I think you said over here, actually there are quite a few things which are quite similar. Kids, when they get tired and hungry, are pretty much a nightmare, especially when you start, well, actually at any age, but the younger you go. I have a 2.5-year-old son, and I can certainly testify that when he is tired and hungry... He's a nightmare, so, and he's doing all sorts of things, but never mind. But also, it's quite important to realise, actually, anger is a really, really natural emotion, and actually is an emotion like any other emotion, and we should experience anger, and everyone should experience anger. And as you said, sometimes actually anger is a positive thing in terms of actually it brings about change. So when I talk with kids... around anger, actually we often talk about things like Band-Aid, which is a long way back in time for them, but actually Bob Geldof's anger at the injustice he saw caused him to do something positive. And when you're talking to kids who have grown up in a church, actually talking about Jesus and what Jesus did, and how Jesus got angry in the temple, and that was a right anger because he was angry at what he saw was happening, and actually that was the way he expressed it. However, the problem is, for lots of children, and for lots of kids generally, they don't know how to demonstrate their anger appropriately. And they haven't learned how to display their emotions appropriately. And again, it's not just anger. When you start talking about emotions generally, actually a lot of kids are, as they're developing, are learning how that emotion affects them and how they must then react with having had that emotion, how they must then deal with that emotion. So you can talk about that in loads of different types of emotions other than just anger. And for us, we sometimes see it as just random things they're getting annoyed about and totally over-exaggerating about the fact they lost a game, the fact they lost the fact their mate suddenly stopped talking to them, the fact that a girl has said she's not going to invite her to their party. These things for us just seem completely trivial and just completely random. And yet for those kids, they are genuinely angry about it, and genuinely, actually, they feel kind of distraught by it. And you kind of say, I have no idea why this is bothering you at all. Next week you're all going to be friends again, so why are you getting such a huff about it now? And yet actually, if we either think back to our childhood, actually we think back to times when we've got angry, when afterwards you always think, actually that was kind of a bit of a pointless thing. I've kind of got myself worked up about something which actually wasn't something that I needed to get worked up about. It's also right to say, actually, there are some children that have real, genuine issues and have things that actually they have a genuine right to be angry about. When you look at the family situations, it's no wonder that... So something I've kind of had quite a lot of experience with working with, certainly with boys, teenage boys and younger, who cannot understand why their mum has started going out with this new guy. And basically this new guy doesn't like them, and they hate this new guy. But they can't see, but their mum can't see past the fact that actually this isn't good for my children. We are going to come back to families in a little while, because I actually think families play a fairly central role in dealing with this. And we will talk about that in a bit. But what I'd like to do next is, again, something we do with kids, which is a bit of fun, really. We usually do it with a massive piece of paper and we get them to draw around themselves. So we're not going to do that because these papers aren't very big. But if you could just draw a body, a human, a person, in the interest of saving paper, we're doing on the other side there. And basically what I want you to do, if I give you some flipped up pens, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to draw around, not draw around yourself, I want you to draw a body, and then on the body I want you to colour in the places where you feel, or where you feel anger. What happens to your body when you feel angry? Okay, a couple of pens for you. Okay, so it can be anywhere on the body. If you're doing this for kids, actually if you've got lots of coloured pens, it's really good thing to do with coloured pens. But basically, you draw someone and then you get them to colour in kind of those bits. What the person looks like really doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a work of art.
Thank you.
Which is fortunate looking at them. So just where in your body you feel anger, what happens to your body, so the physical signs that happen to your body. I'll explain to you a bit more after you've done it. Why? another minute or so of doing this, I realise I'm rushing you through it, but these are kind of...
You must put eyes because people physically see them sometimes.
Okay. Maybe people just eat one person each group, maybe just hold those up. They look to me like you've got fairly similar type things, which isn't a surprise. One of the reasons for doing this, if you've got a group of young people, you actually have a tradition, you can do this with just one young person, and you can just sit with them and just go, actually, where is it you feel anger? Because young people always be able to identify when they're getting angry. And if a kid can identify when they're beginning to get angry, they can often then you can then help them put things in place. A bit later I'm going to talk about a couple other strategies around this, but this is kind of just a bit of a fun thing too. But another great thing to do is, so if you all put your paper down, it's great, thank you. You can all try doing this, because it does actually work. Everyone just clench their fists as hard as they can. Okay? For me, I don't know if I'm saying, so I think it's true, but it doesn't just tense your fists, it tenses you right up here, you start to shake, and you actually start to think, right, and so what one thing to sort of say to kids, and that's kind of where the idea of stress balls comes in, but also kind of actually saying, okay, when you're getting angry, just try as much as you can just to keep your hands wide open, so that you're not clenching fists, so actually you're not going to hit someone, because that... Especially if you're talking to boys, boys typically won't want to slap someone, so they want to punch someone. So if you're saying, actually, just keep your hands open, you're not going to get angry, you're more relaxed. And just kind of the whole idea of just saying that. We'll come back to some more of those strategies in a minute. But we're going to do some stuff around more the immediate kind of thing now, again, in your groups. So I'm sorry, it is near the end of the day, but you are working hard.
I'm feeling very angry about
it. Get over it. That's not a good reaction. Feeling angry, that's not what to do. So usually you guys have got the same one, you have got a different one, because yours is their age kind of specific. Yeah? So what I'd like to do is just kind of think, what's your immediate reaction? What would you sort of say, discuss as a group, kind of, what would you do in that situation to kind of to help? And then we'll try and talk through them and help each other with them.
Every week she gets into a fightful argument with anyone and everyone over what seems to be the smallest thing. When it comes to the teaching section of the session, she never wants to listen, and it will end in a real temper tantrum, where you often feel she's going to do damage to herself. This means that this is very disruptive, and you often don't get to finish the session, and you feel that this is not good for your children in the group. You try to talk to her parents who are members of the church, but they all leave she's not with you. However, you are aware that she acts like this in other places.
She's got a part of it rather than just listening. Just be aware that she knows the difference between the people and the
About another minute talking about it if you got. Okay, sorry to cut you short again, but officially we have only 15 minutes left and we still have a few things to go through, so Time flies when you're having fun. Let's start with this one over here. Can you, someone just read it out? Because I don't mind who, I haven't got a copy of yours, so I can't read it.
A lad has been coming out to the youth club for a few weeks. He's often sulky and moody when he turns up, but usually relaxes as he enjoys being with the youth group. However, on this particular evening, he appears to be particularly angry. He starts by being very aggressive to others in the group. When he wants to play pool, you think he can calm him down. However, when it comes to the epilogue, he refuses to sit with the rest of the group, and he starts shouting abuse about the group and how God doesn't care about his problems. The situation escalates and you begin to get concerned about the safety of the rest of the group.
Thank you. Just so these aren't based on any real situations. However, they are sort of things that could potentially happen. So, and it might be you've experienced these sort of things before in your groups. So what have you come up with between the two groups? Just give us some things about what you would do.
The person who played pool with them needs to actually take him outside and do a bit of one-to-one with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually hopefully made a bit of a relationship just by playing pool to begin
with. Yep. So yes, they're actually doing some work alongside them. I would say the people who are going to know the kids in your group best are going to be you. So you're going to know your kids better than someone else coming in. So rather than getting someone in who kind of knows how to deal with these sort of things, you're going to know your kids better. And hopefully you would know kind of, if they've been around a little while, you'd begin to learn kind of the things that maybe are triggering them to be a bit angry, and actually you could start doing some work around them with that. It might also be he has a couple of mates who you could actually do it alongside with as well. So maybe he doesn't then feel completely isolated, the thing. But yeah, that's cool. Anything else?
Wondered if you could sort of take on his ideas, so the things that he's angry about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe take on those ideas and then start discussing as a group. And so you might check the Bible study out for the day, but you've talked about some issues that are relevant to everyone, and then sort of get him involved in the group together, and so they're all angry.
So I'm having one, you have them all.
But so they're all angry with the same thing, and then you can discuss it at the same point.
Yep.
And try and... and because it's when we go out to, as a one-to-one, it'd be harder for him to integrate back into the group afterwards. So maybe with this way, everyone else is on the same sort of level, and you've discussed some good issues, and then you can sort of move on together.
Yep.
There might be things that he might not want to talk in the group either.
Yes, there might be things going on at home which you don't know about, and actually there are some genuine, again, some genuine reasons why actually he's angry, not just with the group, but actually angry at God.
What can you do, like, because it sounds quite immediate, it sounds like actually at that point in time, you're really worried that for other people in the group, so it sounds like, you know, you're worried that he's going to attack someone, so there's got to be an immediate first step. What sort of things could you do in the heat of the moment?
Yeah, so you have a responsibility, and so under the whole safeguarding thing, you have a responsibility for your group. You have a responsibility for that young person as an individual, but you also have a responsibility for the wider group. And again, depending on the situation, sometimes it might actually be you need to take, rather than taking the individual out, you actually have to take the rest of the group out, and you actually leave the young person in the room with a couple of leaders to work through some of his anger with him. Also, it will be a case of maybe removing things which you think actually he could... a pool cue, pool balls, chairs. It gets quite complicated when you start looking at it. Another thing I would say is, a lot of it comes down to you knowing your young people. But actually, most young people, if they're getting angry, don't want to be shouted at. That is pretty much the worst thing. And often that's in, and I apologise if any of you are teachers, but in schools and things, that's often what happens in schools, is a kid is getting wound up, a kid knows he's getting wound up, and actually, what the kid wants to try and do is actually remove himself from the situation. But he isn't allowed, because the teacher won't let him walk out of his class. And the teacher will make him sit back down, and the teacher will make him get on with his work. And I'm not saying it's all teachers, but I have to say, for for males, that's especially true if it's a male against a male, it becomes often a bit like rutting stags, and it can be, and there's a real danger that if you don't react properly in that situation and you don't go into that situation calmly and talking calmly and using calm words and just talking really quietly and basically trying to talk them out of a situation, talk them down, it ends up in a bigger argument and you're then kind of involved in that argument as well. Often it's sometimes better for a female to deal with a situation like that because there is a calmer, typically. My mate who's a police officer often says is the people who are best at diffusing arguments are the female police officers because they're not seen as a target to try and prove them like they're macho about sort of thing. I think if, again, I would also say actually it isn't a bad thing if a kid actually comes into a session, you know he's not right, you know there's something going on, have a chat with him and just go, I'm not sure it's the best thing for you to be here tonight. I actually think, and I'm not saying just send him back home because actually that might be where the problems are, but actually just talk him through, because it's not in his interest for him to come in and cause loads of trouble and then get himself banned from youth group for a couple of weeks because he's hit another kid with a pool cue. For example, you might ban him for longer than that. But it's not in his interest, and it's also not in your interest. But if you can, so reading that one, he's kind of moody, so you kind of like, he isn't right. There's something not right with him. Actually saying to him, look, why don't we just take you home and get us to take a couple of people, just run him home, and as you're driving home, have a chat. But, yeah, often the best conversations with young people happen when you're sat in the car because you're sort of distracted and there's no expectation to talk. Whereas if you sit him down in a room and he's really wound up and you sit him down, right, sit down and talk to me. What's wrong? Why are you being so stupid? Why? Again, it's how we deal with it. If we match aggression with aggression, then it really doesn't work. And sometimes we're really annoyed that they're kicking off, and we'll see that in a minute more in your one, in terms of kind of you think there should be other things happening. You wanted to get your epilogue done. You were really proud of what you're, well, not really proud, but you thought what you were going to say was really good, and you thought actually the kids really need to hear that epilogue, and yet the kids kicked off and you're doing what? So it's kind of thing. Yep.
I completely agree with what you've said about preempting an episode like that, because from the description in that particular story, it sounds as though that boy's got into a habit of suppressing his anger until he reaches that boiling point, whereas, you know, if he's had help to deal with it before he gets to that point. Also, I want to say about the car, because in the past I've found that the car is wonderful for that, because it is, you know, it's not confrontational, you don't have to make eye contact. Our problem is we aren't allowed to carry children in our own cars because there are rules about that.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the thing, so everyone has different safeguarding policies, so
if anyone's got a safe to a car.
Yeah. I mean it's doing an activity with them.
Yeah,
if it's walking them home, if it's actually sitting somewhere playing on a PlayStation or playing a game, and that's playing game port, it's somewhere where that there isn't an expectation on that kid having to speak to you. Because as soon as they expect they have to speak, they'll clam up and not want to speak. So there are other things. I mean, car is a good example, but yeah. Okay.
I've got one lad that actually asked me for a cup of tea, and that's his code for needing time out. I take him into the kitchen and make him a cup of tea.
Great, yeah.
He'll either work for it or sort of tell him what's bugging him.
And that's the thing, so if they've built a trust in you to actually say to you, and again, coming back to almost the pictures and kind of the fist, I'm feeling angry, I'm getting angry. There's things you can put in place, okay, come and talk to me. If you're feeling angry, let's not, in a minute. We'll come on to a couple of other things. We're going to sort of whistle through a few different things, strategies you can do kind of on the longer term. So helping someone like this lad over a period and saying, actually, right, what work are we going to put in place to help you with that? Can we just take the kids, the younger ones here? I'll read quickly so I've got it here. An 8-year-old girl comes to Sunday school each week. Every week she gets into a fight or an argument with anyone and everyone over what seems to be the smallest things. When it comes to the teaching section of the session, she never wants to listen, and it will always end in a real temper tantrum where you often fear she's going to do damage to herself. This means that it's very disruptive, and you often don't get to the finish of the session, and you feel that this is not good for the other children in the group. You have tried to talk to her parents, who are members of the church, but they feel the issue is more with you. However, you are aware that she acts like this in other places. What were you going to do? I did hear two or three very good things. I could hear your group more than anyone else's.
One of the things I said, that it could be like a learned behaviour, and that's how she normally is. So trying to reward her for other types of behaviour. So as she walks in, if she says something kind, reward her for that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and give her stickers.
Yeah.
She's got that sticker sort of age.
Reward, reward charts for younger ones. Reward charts are an absolute winner. I also think it's also true in terms with older ones. Actually, if a kid comes in, so. One lad who we used to work with quite a lot, he always used to wear a hoodie, and he used to always wear his hood up. No matter what lesson he was in, he was always wearing a hoodie. One day he didn't wear a hoodie, he had his hood down. And I never told him to take his hood off, because it just wasn't worth the battle. It was kind of like, have your hoodie up, I don't care. But he took it and was like, oh, really nice to see your face. You got like this. And he kind of like this. But he then didn't wear his hoodie on his head, because it... He got the reward for the good thing as opposed to being always told. And I know it's a fairly common thing heard now, so in terms of rewarding good behaviour, ignoring bad. There are issues with that, in my opinion. I think you can't ignore bad behaviour all the time. You can ignore some behaviour, but there are some behaviours you actually need to be quite clear on and things. A couple more things. Anything else that you... we've got on what it said. Okay.
And
I think having a good communication with parents is really important, because parents play a massive role, obviously, in a child's life. And it's so within my organisation, we have a family worker who works with families, and it's really, really positive when we actually work alongside families, because the number of times I've worked with a young person and we've gone through a whole issue about swearing, don't swear, and then eventually you get him, he's swearing, you have to say, you go and tell him, oh, I've told him he's not to swear, and you're just like, oh. Okay, this is where the problem is. It isn't with the child, it's actually with the parent here, and we need to do some work with the parent around setting boundaries, about making sure they're consistent in the way they parent. Again, this situation could potentially be actually she's just a spoiled little girl who gets everything she wants, and whenever she's not getting her way, she throws a tantrum. That means she gets her way. And it's trying to teach the parents actually know. You are the parent, you are in charge, and in the same way you're the adult in that situation, you take charge of that situation, you are in charge of this group. And actually, sometimes, again, it's a case of saying, okay, you're not going to take part in this session today, so that's fine, you need to go back. And again, this is where it gets really hard in a church setting, because I know one of the threats almost is you go and sit with your parents in church, which then gives a really, really negative impression to kids about church, because they're suddenly, oh, I better sit in church when I'm naughty, better be. But that's something we say. Also, we need to make sure, if we're saying something to a child, we can go through with that threat, and actually we're consistent with that threat. So if we say to a kid, if you do that one more time, you will not be taking part in the next activity, you'll be sitting over here with me. If they do it again, you have to follow through that threat. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much they kick and scream, you have to follow through, because they will learn. And kids love boundaries. And kids thrive when they have clear boundaries. And actually they do so much better if they have boundaries. And the trouble is, people are scared to put boundaries in place because kids fight against boundaries, because they kind of want to see how far they can push it. Boundaries give kids real security, and they give kids safety, because actually if you're a kid and you think, I can do anything I want, it's actually quite scary thinking I can just do anything. Whereas actually if you say, no, you can't do anything, you can do up to this amount, That kid knows that's as far as they'll go, and they'll go a little bit further to see how far they can go, but they know how far is they're allowed to go. And again, it's something they have to learn, and it's things they learn as they go along in terms of actually how far can I push someone. And they will. That's why supply teachers in schools have such a hard time, because they've got no kind of way of enforcing what they're doing, because actually they're only there for a day, and therefore kids just go, right, let's see how far I can push this, and they just cause carnage. A new teacher, I remember when I was at school, a new teacher came in, you just caused havoc to see how far you could go. Some teachers stood up to you and handed out detentions left, right and centre. You quickly learnt you didn't muck around in their lesson. Other teachers didn't do anything, and you just thought, ooh, this is the lesson I can muck around in. And yet actually the lesson, I look back now, the teachers I enjoyed having the most were the ones who were strictest. Yes. Because actually they're the ones I learned from, and they're the ones who kind of taught me things. So as much as we're here to love, and I think actually loving kids is about being strict and about having boundaries set for them, and I just encourage you to do that. Right, we are really running out of time, but never mind. Do people mind missing a bit of cup of tea? Is that alright?
There's a couple more things.
Oh, go on, a couple more things. Yep.
One of them was helping her understand, she might not know she's getting angry,
yep.
Helping her understand what she feels like, you know, a bit like you were saying, well, what's it feel like and where in your body. The other thing is, we were talking about the snacks thing. Might be.
Oh, yes, that was the other thing I thought was really good, yes.
Might be having a snack at the end of the session, and we could bring it to forward, because it might be that she's hungry, not eating
yep.
properly.
So, the number of kids who go would come into a Sunday school, but also go into school who are having not eaten. And it just causes... I'm really grumpy if I don't have my breakfast, and I'm kind of an adult. So imagine what a little kid is who's not eating his breakfast and now he's going to sit through a double maths lesson or sit through a Sunday school lesson. Not that you're, I'm sure a Sunday lesson, Sunday school lesson is very exciting. What was your first one as well?
The first one was about teaching her what helping her to notice when she's feeling angry.
Yes.
So she can take responsibility for herself. You know, take herself off in a corner.
The other thing to use, and I'm not sure if anyone's ever heard of I messages. So what you say is, you talk about actually how it's affecting you. So you say, do you know what, this, when you behave like this, I actually feel really disappointed because I can't do the rest of my session. I can't. And so rather than saying to her, your behaviour is really bad, you're saying to her, actually you're affecting me. And also using the whole group and actually talking about the wider group and saying to her, when you behave like this, you're actually having a group effect on our group, because actually it means our group isn't necessarily able to do everything they'd like to do, and some of the kids are actually a bit scared of you now because of the way that you're acting. And things like that, just, again, it stops it being an aggressive thing against her, and kind of thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through two or three sort of longer term in things you can put in place to help. We were going to do another game, but we've run out of time. But it wasn't that exciting, so don't worry. One of the big problems is people tell kids to count to 10 often. Say, count to 10 and it'll be fine. I've worked with kids and they go, yeah, that doesn't work. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I still want to punch them. And you go, okay, that doesn't work. So the kind of the principle behind counting to 10 is quite good. Some of you might also have heard of maybe like the firework model. So they talk about anger being like a firework. Again, I don't necessarily agree with that, because actually a firework, when it explodes, is really pretty. And you go, oh, like that. So often when I'm talking to you, we talk about it being like a bomb. And especially if you're talking with boys, they kind of really get on with that idea. We're going to be a few more minutes. But the whole idea of the kind of the bomb is you have two elements, really, as part of the bomb. You have the match that lights it, and you have the fuse. Now, kids can do nothing, usually, about the match, because the match is an external thing. What they can do is stuff about the fuse. And so if you, depending on your child, but a lot of kids, they think about it visually like this. You talk about, actually, what are you going to do that extends your fuse? How are you going to make your fuse longer? We're not going to get rid of the bomb, because you're going to get angry. All kids get angry. We get angry. But actually, what are you going to do to make that fuse that much longer, that it will take you longer to explode, therefore it gives you more time to calm down and more time to get out of the situation. And then you kind of get into sort of ways of doing that. But that kind of helps them visualise in terms of saying, actually, yeah, if I do this, then I think, if I just keep my hands open, I don't clench my fist, that'll buy me like 2 or 3 minutes. If I have a stress ball in my pocket, that'll buy me a couple of minutes, something. It's just little things which aren't always going to work. And again, it's saying to kids, not setting them up to fail, and just saying, actually, do you know what? This isn't always going to work, because you are going to get angry. You are going to punch someone every so often if you're an angry person. But let's try and limit the number of times, because actually it's really disruptive. Another thing we do, which we were going to do, but we're not going to have time, is we talk about animals. Okay, and we compare anger to animals and different animals. So you've got things like tortoises, sharks, sheep, mice, tortoises and sharks again, cats, snails, elephants and bumblebees. And we talk about what happens to them when they get angry. What do they do when they get angry? How do other people view them because of the way they are? So you talk about a shark and you say a shark is, when it gets angry, it eats people or things. And actually, it doesn't really have any friends, because no one really wants to be near it, because they're all scared of it. And actually, it's not a very good thing to be. Talk about a bumblebee. So a bumblebee, well, a bumblebee, it buzzes around. Look, when it gets angry or gets scared or feels threatened, it stings someone. However, as soon as it stings someone, it dies. Therefore, that's got an implication for it. So it's got to be really careful. A bumblebee's got to have a really long fuse, or otherwise, it's dead. A snail. What is a snail? Well, a snail, when it gets scared or gets angry, it just goes into its shell and it hides, but doesn't really go anywhere. It just stays there and hides and hopes no one will find it, and usually someone then stands on it. An elephant. Can't always think elephants really ever get that angry. They kind of just roam around. They have lots and lots. I know they do. But they have lots of, they have a big family. They stay with their family. They have lots of friends. They're seen as wise and sensible and things like that. Is that buzzing because of me?
Well, it's not me.
Okay. Right. So that's some of the things there. Anger diaries. Again, depending on your kid. Actually, if they keep a diary, and every time they feel they're getting angry, they just get the diary out and they start scribbling. They start writing. And you say to them, actually, this is a license to write whatever you want. Actually, if you feel like you're about to explode with swear words, rather than shouting those swear words out, write them in a book. Because then you're not getting in trouble, because you're writing them in a book, you're just writing, and you're not going to get in trouble for that. Also, sometimes, if you're talking to a lad, a kid who maybe comes from a church background, actually talk to him and say, actually, use the book to argue with God. And actually, kind of, get angry with God a bit. And again, you've got to be really careful how you explain it, but actually, in the Bible, there's quite a lot of examples where people were angry with God. Through the Psalms, there are people that are angry with God. Jacob wrestled with God. There's things where people kind of feel like, and again, sometimes there are legitimate reasons. If you've got a rubbish home life, actually you're going to be a bit angry with someone. And actually, it's better to be angry with God, because God's actually big enough to take that rather than us, and kind of get them to maybe sort of almost turn it into kind of like an angry prayer book almost for me. And then kind of as they go along, they can maybe calm down. Also, they can rip pages out. So actually, if they've been really angry about something and they've dealt with it, they rip it out, throw it away. It's over. That situation's finished. They've got rid of that situation. We've already kind of talked a bit about boundaries. It's good to kind of make sure they're consistent, that you stand by them, and things like that. And then something for sort of certainly for younger children, I would say, emotion biscuits. So just get Rich Tea biscuits and those icing pens and talk about emotions. So don't just talk about anger, talk about emotions as a whole, and get them to draw little smiley faces, little sad faces, and then that opens up a conversation. Okay, so you've drawn a sad face, what would make you sad? Talk about angry face. What makes you angry? What's the things that makes you angry? Also, you can do some really clever things with salt. And kind of like glass tubes and bottles, and you can colour in salt with chalk, and basically you can do different layers. And so you say, actually, okay, you get them to cut the bottle up in size, and you go, right, of your life, how often are you angry? 50%, okay? So you take 50% in salt, you colour that in whatever colour you want that to be angry. How often are you happy? 20%, okay. Granted, you've got to help them a bit with the percentage if they're really little, but colour that in. And then suddenly you've got a full bottle, and they can sort of see where they think. But also for you, that just gives you an opportunity and a license to talk to them about, what is it that makes you angry? What is it? Why do you feel angry? What happens? What is that always going to be the case? Is there things that we can do to help you with that? And then the final thing I would say is you can pray for your young people and your children. So it's something you should be doing for all of your kids. You should be praying for all of the kids you work with. However, if you've got ones in particular who are really troubled, have really troubled home lives, have really troubled, angry kids, and you kind of know there are kids who are just angry, Ultimately, they need the intervention from God to actually give them a peace and give them a kind of a growing maturity in how to deal with that. We can do all these clever interventions, we can do all the stuff in the world, but actually it's God that's kind of got to make a change in their heart to actually make them at peace. So yes, sorry, that was a really whistle stop at the end, and I'm aware that I'm really eating into your coffee, Simon. I'm very sorry. If anyone has any questions, maybe it'd be easier just to come and ask me afterwards. I hope we kind of covered everything. I'm not sure we covered all of the things that people said at the start, but I hope we covered most things. Thank you, and have a good rest of the afternoon, your last session.